You're listening to a MAGFest 13 special presentation on the Fat Gatsby Network.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you want to speak into the microphone.
I see,
like,
I see.
Talk to the back end of it.
Right.
You just started a podcast. You need to know this stuff.
I'll get better.
Yeah.
Because I can't get worse.
We all do. Are you recording now? You're good? All right. Hey, we're here at MAGFest 13, and I'm once again here with Matthew.
Hello.
Of Botchamania. Hello. And you're wearing the same suit you were wearing last time I talked to you four
yes.
months ago.
Let's describe visuals on an audio podcast. Yes. I'm 10 foot tall and ripped. Yeah, you don't
yes.
fucking know.
Sexiest man on the planet. So, yeah.
In England.
It's great to be here again at MAGFest 13.
It is.
So, yeah, we talked to you before kind of about the basis of what you do in Botchamania, and so they should know all that if they listened to the last podcast. So what do you got... That's new. Well, if not, go listen to it. So what you got that's new with Botchamania? Like the podcast I just mentioned.
This is going well so far, isn't it?
Yeah.
But did you ask me a question?
Yeah. You just started a podcast, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. What is the Botchcast?
Botchcast. Well, I've wanted to do a Botchcast for a while now, but it's always, I always set my sights like way up. Like, you know, I don't want to hit the moon, I want to hit Mars. That's my outlook on things.
Yeah, yeah.
So if I miss Mars, at least I can aim for the moon in theory. You know, that's a weird analogy. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Not much coffee. But as always, that's not what life is. Life isn't, oh, this will happen and this will happen with this guy. You have to just go, right, this is the hand I've been dealt. Let's do what we have. So, because it's always weird when I hear the podcasts and it's always... Right, let's watch Raw. This 2-hour long podcast, you know.
Sometimes the podcasts
are longer than the actual wrestling shows themselves.
Do they just record
themselves.
The podcast while they talk about the show,
no,
or while they watch the show?
Hello, I am Brian of Somerset, and I am unemployed. Let me tell you everything that is wrong with WWE. And you're like, Jesus Christ. Like, really? Is this why we're all wrestling fans nowadays? Because I know we're the most critical wrestling... We're the most critical fan of any genre. But there must be. There can't be any other ones. God help them if there are any.
It just feels like the easiest for us to have a better idea of what they should be doing than what they are doing.
Right,
I think.
But my thing is, and it's becoming more and more as I talk to people online,
mm-hmm.
the way I enjoy wrestling is I have friends in real life. We get together. We watch the wrestling. We go, that was great. You know, wow, awesome, man. You go online. And it's always like, I'm tweeting, they're like, wow, what a great match. Oh, I love this stuff. Yay. And then you look at it, you know, follow back all the tweets, and I was, that was the shittest pay-per-view in the history of shit. You know, just all this. I'm like, what the hell? You know, I've never seen a pay-per-view like that. So terrible. Well, join us for Raw tomorrow night. I'm like, wait a minute. Aren't you guys doing this the wrong way? Surely you'd invest a lot of time in something you enjoy doing. You know, it's like if you go to the gym and every day's leg day or something. So, so I'm trying to do a podcast with people who enjoy wrestling as much as I do, who I'm friends with. So it's, you know, it's almost like Kevin Smith. Hey, here's all my friends to get, you know, whatever. But it's not. It's like, hey, is there a demographic for this? Are people who actually enjoy wrestling being represented online? Or is it all... That was awful.
Yeah, it just turns
out. Dolph Ziggler lost a match. I'm never going to watch Raw.
They're burying him again.
Yeah, buried. You know, and you know, the type of wrestling fans who tell other wrestling fans marks. I'm like, oh, just leave, please. Come on. You know, where the guy's like, yeah, you know, yeah, we want to enjoy wrestling. That's me and my friends. Mm-hmm. That's the idea. That's why I still watch it. And I always get people messaging me going, whoa, you actually like wrestling, Matthew? I'm like, what the what, don't you? Well, only ironically, I'm like, what, every week you watch something for 3 hours and then 2 hours on Saturday, and the guy addresses Macho Man's like, Macho Man! Oh, yeah. There we go. Hopefully you heard that. He said, oh, yeah. So,
yeah,
you didn't hear that? Well, you
that.
Can imagine. He looks pretty Macho Man-esque.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say, I remember you, like, talking about on your Twitter, like, there was some guy who was, like, aghast that, like, wrestlers would do the intro spot for your show because there's like I just don't understand this Botchamania guy
was,
why he's so popular and like why wrestlers do things for him when he's making fun of all this hard work they're doing.
Right, no, it's always weird. Wrestlers, I've never expressed any issues with me. And it's always like the second or first question somebody asks me, like, wow, you must have annoyed some wrestlers, right, wanting some dirt. And sadly, I don't have any. No wrestlers being like, you dick. You know, I'll fucking beat the shit out of you, kid. Pay your dues. No, they've never been like that, ever. You expect them to be, but they're not. Mm-hmm. Most wrestlers are okay with it. It's only the no-name, you know. If the likes of Dean Ambrose and all the Chikara roster are singing your praises, if one guy who's not even... You know, his stuff's not even taped by Smart Map Video or High Spots is insulting you. Like, well, shit, I've got the approval of the horse's head. Why would I need to speak to the horse's ass? It's only wrestling fans who have issues with me. They're almost like, it's a bad analogy, but they're the white knight and wrestlers are like the battered women who are being picked on by like this horrible nerd. Like, hey, look at you, wrestler. Look at you fucking up. No, leave me alone. And then it's like, I'll save wrestling. You know, here I come to see. As if like, if Botchamania went away, like all wrestlers would be millionaires and it'd be on TV and it'd be happy, happy, joy, joy and all this. Because British wrestling fans are the people that hate probably... the people who give me the most hate.
Yeah.
Just like, fuck you. I mean, I've had threats now. It's just like, oh, he's in the UK. Great, I could threaten him in real life. And nothing's happened, obviously.
Yeah,
but one guy threatened he was going to punch me if he ever saw me. Mm-hmm. And I was on Twitter, and some wrestling promoter was like, this guy wants to hit you. And he was like, whoa, what's up? And he blocked everybody, but he blocked me as well. I'm like, well, okay. And he basically said, because you don't go to enough UK wrestling shows. That was why. For not being a big enough fan. So I actually saw him at a UK wrestling show, so that's ironic. And I went, hey, how you doing? I'm the Botchamania guy. Do you want to punch me in the face? And he went, well, you're here, I guess. It's okay. So we discussed like German wrestling, and that was okay. Mm-hmm. You know, love. It's like a Coca-Cola advert. You know, we fell in love with your wrestling. And the other thing was, we went to the PCW, and PCW is a very big, like for the UK promotion in the Northwest.
Yeah, I've seen you talking about that. Yeah, like
it's unreal. It's honestly,
sounds
like,
crazy.
Right, wrestling. Going to a wrestling show in America is like, well, there better be some moonsaults and head drops, or I ain't cheering for shit, type mentality. Over in the UK, we're like, we'll cheer anything, yeah! Like, it's like a football match with wrestling, and that's how we like it. And a guy was like, oh, you're at the PCW show? Yeah, I'm Craig, yeah. Cool, if I see you, I'm going to spit in your face. I'm like, fuck. I'm like, oh, shit, who's it?
Obviously, what is going on here?
This brave man didn't have his, like, his profile picture was just a picture of, like, a sign. It wasn't of his face. So I'm like, oh, okay, brave dude, you know. Yeah. It's the real-life version. All right, say that shit to my face, you know. It's me. Well, I'm, like, built like Milhouse in real life. And I'm like, oh, yeah? Like, oh, my good motherfucker.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's like, apparently was like, yeah, if he spits in your face, we'll throw him out. I'm like, fine, though, you know. So, yeah, crazy. Wrestlers love me. Wrestling fans sometimes hate me. And I would hate to be unmodest? That's not a fucking word. Unmodest and be like, maybe it's jealousy, but fuck it, maybe it is.
Maybe.
They're just jealous. I'm like, well, no, I'm not immune to criticism. I listen to stuff, but if a guy threatens to spit or punch me in the face because of a video of that, wrestlers are like, hey, thanks, man.
Yeah, I kind of get the impression that wrestlers probably watch your show and maybe appreciate it on some, because they like
they
to
keep
laugh.
On telling me
like,
that
they enjoy
so.
You know, watching each other fuck up, and it is funny and presented well, and right. I always got the impression that like you weren't being malicious towards the product.
No,
that like this is totally out of love at all times,
right?
You nailed it
and it's laughing with, it's enjoying, it's saying yeah, everybody, life is about fucking up. No matter what you do, it's like I was saying before about the Botchcast, you have to accept what you get. And you can either fuck up, learn from it, and don't fuck up again. Or fuck up, go, hey, whatever, then fuck up, then fuck up, then fuck up. That's life. Mm-hmm. And I went to CZW, the last arena show they had, 2011, I think, before they tore it down and whatever.
Yeah.
And, all the rest was like, oh, my God, my food. And I was, like, overwhelmed. Like, I was telling one of the Chrissy Rivera, like, holy shit, I can't believe all these fucking wrestlers are this happy to see. And they went, why not? I was like, well, you know, like, fucking up and all this. He goes, listen, Matthew, you have to be of a certain disposition to get into wrestling in the first place. Mm-hmm. You know, wearing spandex, want to get booed by people, beating the shit out of you. Of course they're going to enjoy watching themselves fuck up. You know, what else they enjoy doing? I'm like, oh, well, when you put it like that, you know. To a point where I met Niles Young, who's currently CCW, he was CCW champ.
Yeah.
It's bad. But he told me, he's like, oh, hey, and me and my friend were like, oh my God, how are you doing? Niles Young, he's like, oh, great, fans. And then someone told him, oh yeah, by the way, that's a Botchamania guy. And after the show, he's like, I didn't realize it was you. And came running towards us, like, oh my God. You know? So,
wow.
So they're like, wow, are you like a draw yet? I'm like, well, no. You know, who's going to come see me? Yeah, hello. So it's like here at MAGFest, I didn't apply for a panel this year because sometimes I've had one, sometimes like, oh, fuck, I'll have an unofficial one. Like,
Yeah.
Like, I don't need your damn whatever. I don't know, singing badges. But this year I'm just having a Rumble get-together with like, hey, let's all drink and be social and do the let's enjoy wrestling game and see if that actually works with people. I'll be weirded out. Like, well, what do you mean enjoy wrestling, Matthew? What are you talking about? It's an insane idea. But I forget what my point was, actually. Yeah, that was it. But people were like, wow, but Matthew, how's it being? Like, when I go back home, like, what's it like being a celebrity? Well, even here in MAGFest, with like thousands upon thousands of nerds, some sort of brilliant fucking nice ones as well, if you know. And it's only maybe if there's what, like 10,000 people here or whatever the
fuck? At least, yeah. Like, it was like 13 last year, and I'm sure it'll be more this year.
There's like maybe 100 of those who know who I am, and 50 of those who want to hang out with me. So it's still, I am a big fish in a niche of a niche of a niche of a niche of a niche. So I've got enough fame, so I'll go, wow. You know, I ain't worth a dollar, but I feel like a millionaire, Sweets of Stone Age say. But I haven't got enough to where I'm like, yes, everything I do is great. I never fuck up, which is what I want. So
yeah, obviously, don't we all? But yeah, it must feel good with like Steve Austin name dropping Bocciamania, or
Bocciamania.
Extremely surreal in a way, too.
Yeah, right.
But
he uses it as a verb as well, and I Bocciamania'd him. I'm like, whoa, yeah. You say it 10,000 times, it goes in the dictionary, Steve. So please,
yeah,
it's better than HB Shizzle anyway. So,
And you're also hosting the No Mercy tournament tonight.
Dog. Yes,
yeah,
that's right.
Dig-dig-dog.
11 p.m.
So that's your favorite wrestling game of all time?
Absolutely.
The best. Now, and that's the way it is for a lot of wrestling game fans. It's pretty much No Mercy, and then there's everything else.
Yeah, people always get like, oh, No Mercy is great, Matthew, but how about, I'm like, no. Only WrestleMania 2000 is second, and with NWA Revenge being a close third, so
yeah.
The guy's looking at me. Thumbs up, dude. He's taking a photo. You're going to take a photo? Yeah,
that sounds great. Yeah.
I'm having a photo. We're having a photo
taken. We're having
taken.
A photo taken right now as we're talking live on this podcast.
See what I mean about enough fame? So you don't feel like Tom Cruise, but you don't feel like Frank Stallone. You know, it's just right. Just right.
Yeah.
Frank Stallone. I know where that's from.
But, you know, but, is it?
And then it is Pete. Oh, let's pretend the noise is for us.
Yeah.
No, back.
Yes,
back.
Yes, okay,
later,
calm
later,
down. Calm
later.
Down.
Come to my room later.
We'll be with you in a moment.
Quick. Young Buck super kick. There we go. That sold them out.
Yeah, is there any other than the like N64 wrestling games that you put on a pedestal at all?
Ooh, really? Oh, Jesus! Wait a minute. No,
nope.
Look,
any
no,
other
I'm
wrestling
not.
Games?
You know when you see something and you're like, oh fuck, for the love of God, Matthew, do not laugh. And all you want to do is laugh harder than you've ever laughed in your life. Anyway, we'll move on from that.
Yeah.
Sorry, we'll make up, fill your own, do up like a Mad Libs, fill in what you think you just saw there. And it wasn't that.
But anything else, like any WrestleMania Arcade, any of the SmackDown games, Saturday Night Slam Masters?
No.
Nope, just No Mercy.
I'm
that's
going
it,
through the head of all the ones. I would say Tecmo Pro Wrestling.
Ah,
but I've only discovered that recently, and it's only as a... fan of retro video games, I'm looking at and going, holy shit, this game is way ahead of its time. Them with commentary, the in-ring action, still giant swing. Are you familiar with Tecmo?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, I was one of these things, I'm like, wow, this game's great. Everyone knows, like, yeah, we know. Where have you been, you fucking idiot? That really I'd put on the pedestal. But the other ones, No Mercy, like, signifies such a great time for me in my life.
Yeah.
Pro wrestling.
Yep.
That era was so
good. Yeah, yeah.
All my friends would get together of, you know, before the days we are now with, hey, let's get together and play a game online by myself.
I'll talk to you in a microphone.
I fucking hate that shit. I hate MMORPGs. If you play them, fine. Just keep them away from me. People come around my house playing 64s. I go around their house playing 64s. I have a great time. It still plays well. It's a simple but effective system.
Yep.
You know, block for grapple, black counter for that. It works. Dudley from Street Fighter 3 just walked past. it works so damn well. It's like Tetris. If it's a concept good enough, it'll just keep on going. Man, I'm trying to think. I didn't even play the SmackDown vs. Raw games.
I didn't really play
them and go, this shit. Hey, Lord Cat just walked past. I
was
going to
say
be
that.
You said you had Jerry Judy. You lied to me. Anyway.
I was going to say that our group, we got really into SmackDown Here Comes the Pain because it has a really, really good create a wrestler mode.
All right.
Where because you can make asymmetrical changes to your wrestler so they can have one giant shoulder and like one
the,
weird.
The Hunchback from Notre Dame wrestling.
Things can get really weird. And that game's good for another reason. But it has a pretty good system in it, too. But yeah.
If it is the 2K 13 and 14, I really enjoyed. I haven't had the chance to play 2K 15 yet.
Yeah.
But 2K 13 was the first time I played newer version of WWE and went, wow, this plays really well, actually. I'm really impressed by this, how well this plays. 2K 14 I enjoyed the most because of the Road to WrestleMania mode.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'll be telling other people, like, so you can reenact things, like, buy the licenses for some people, so you have, like, oh, as Hogan, slam Andre at WrestleMania 3 to get points and win the match, etc. But WrestleMania 2000 comes along. Get the rights to the main event. The main event, weirdly enough, 2000, amazing year for pay-per-view WWF.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from WrestleMania, which is one of the lower-level pay-per-views that year.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, weird moment. But the only thing of note that happened during that match, I was watching my friends playing. I was like, oh, well, this match The other thing that happens in this match is Mick Foley coming off the top rope and not hitting the guy when he's on the thing. And I'm like, wouldn't it be great if that was in the match? He's playing it by himself. Watch him, and it comes as Mick Foley jump off the top rope. I'm like, no way. And he just does it, deliberately misses. The commentators are like, wow, well, Mick Foley didn't get all of that. I'm like, they actually put in, you had to put a botch.
That's
in
awesome.
A video game, a wrestling video game, they're including botches that are deliberate. I'm like, brilliant, we've come full circle now. Fantastic. So
fantastic. All right, real quick to wrap things up, I'd make, well,
Rumble. I talk too much, by the way. I'm sorry. No, that's fine. My biggest foil.
They hear us talk all the time. The Rumble will be over.
Conor Baker sucks. It was him. It was him. Sorry.
All right.
That's it, Macho. You saw Conor Baker out. That's it. Go get him.
I was going to say,
he ran 10 yards, so he's out of breath. Go on.
Yeah, the Royal Rumble will be over with by the time this actually goes up on the internet. What do you think WrestleMania is going to look like this year?
I don't give a fuck. I'll watch it anyway.
All right, sounds great.
Well, that's one of the things, because last year it was almost weird in a sense that WrestleMania turned out great.
Yes.
Loved it.
It was
what
insane. That was
what
one of my
show.
Favorite ones ever. Yeah,
the Daniel Bryan.
Yep.
But it is important to remember that it was originally Batista versus Orton.
That was
the plan. That was how it was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And they went, holy shit, Batista's about as popular as arse AIDS at this point, so we'll have to change this round a bit. And it worked brilliantly.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no point, in my opinion, making plans for WrestleMania.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just fuck it, give it 2 weeks anyway, and
things might change.
Yeah, they won't know, so
if they make
honestly,
it.
Whatever happens, my idea is to enjoy it.
Cool.
Even if it's, oh, God, what could be the worst match they could do at WrestleMania? I'm trying to think as a headline.
Oh,
not Batista. Maybe New Age Outlaws versus The Ascension in Lumberjack. With CM Punk's Lumberjack,
God.
Maybe. I don't know, maybe that. But anything that'll happen, I'll enjoy it. Or if it's bad, I'll laugh at it like WrestleMania 27.
All right, well, thank you. And I'll be seeing you through the show.
You will?
Yeah,
I've got a Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, but I can't be arsed. I've got no fans. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, just look for Botchamania. Hit up the Patreon.
You know how to do that, right?
Contribute
Google.
To his habit.
Get Chrome
of making
Google's
videos. Support your travel.
Yeah,
all right.
Support MAGFest. MAGFest's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's a bit late now because it's come and gone, but
yeah,
if you save up your money now, you'll go to MAGFest 14.
Yeah.
Or, what, 9.5, whatever the next one's going to be?
Who knows?
Whatever.
I don't even know.
Mini MAGFest, whichever.
Mm-hmm.
Come here.
Steal, all right.
Steal, lie, cheat, do whatever you need to do to get the MAGFest. And that's it.
Yeah.
And Colin Baker's back. You still suck, Colin.
He's the best drug.
All right.
On that note, thank you.
Yep. Bye.
So last night at MAGFest.
Last night at MAGFest, we watched the Royal Rumble with a room full of people, graciously hosted by Charles Margolis.
It was pretty cool. It was the first time in more than a decade that I had watched wrestling with a room full of people, and it was super fun.
You know, it was the first time in probably more than a decade that I've watched wrestling with a room full of people as well, because after we stopped watching Raw together back in, like, 06 or something like that, like, I haven't really... any wrestling I have watched has been with, like, one or two people. It's not been a rowdy bunch of opinionated and obnoxious assholes.
It would have been fun to get to watch the Royal Rumble with Matthew. Like, I kind of thought that was going to happen, but also in a way... I knew that situation was going to be the kind of thing where there's going to be 50 people crammed in here because all these people want to see Matthew.
Everybody wants to watch the Royal Rumble with Matthew, of course. He ended up watching it, like, I think, in a fairly low-key situation, but whatever, not here nor there. I was happy to watch it with Robert and Darren and many other people that I don't get to watch wrestling with ever.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a delight.
Yeah, it was one of the things I was really most looking forward to this weekend, was being able to watch wrestling with those guys, just in general, and the Royal Rumble itself, of course, which is always one of the highlights of the year in wrestling, whether everything else is going to shit or not. It's usually pretty damn fun.
So, I saw a lot of things, and
We were getting into a conversation where I was about to kind of go off on...
Because I asked you... Who is Daniel Bryan, and what is his thing?
Yes, and clearly Dave has been out of the loop for a while to not know who Daniel Bryan is. I'm not going to say who Daniel... I already explained who Daniel Bryan is.
Daniel Bryan apparently doesn't have much of a thing, except that he is...
He works hard.
He's an underdog.
He has charisma. He is a great underdog. and just like people really get behind him, and you know, it's, yeah, just he's a good guy. He's a fun guy to root for, and he had a really tough year with an injury, and yeah, I mean, we were talking about, okay, so the Rumble itself, I guess we'll talk about, because that means we can end it on a high note talking about the title match.
Okay.
Fucking awesome. So the Rumble itself ended up being kind of a shit show, much like the Royal Rumble was a shit show last year.
This is what I hear.
Some poor decisions were made, and I think perhaps even some more than usual, like, poor decisions were made this year that were just, like, very, very odd. In that Daniel Bryan, who one would consider a favorite to win the Rumble, he was not in it for that long. He came in at number 10. It was kind of assumed that he would be there towards the end.
Yeah.
They'd certainly been kind of building a storyline that he's gonna make his big comeback and win the Rumble. And, you know, he's going to last. And, you know, I was, of course, sad when he was thrown out relatively early.
Yeah.
But I wasn't, like, totally crestfallen. Because that's kind of interesting. It's unexpected that he would get thrown out so soon.
We talked about this earlier. It surprises are always a delight. Whether it's a good surprise, it's a bad surprise. I'd always prefer to be surprised.
Sure, yeah, but it's like, okay, well, he got thrown out, so hopefully there is a... And there's always kind of the tenuous hope with anything that happens in professional wrestling, in particular with the WWE, is that something interesting is going to happen in terms of story out of this, and that has not necessarily not happened yet, and I look forward to seeing what happens with that. But it was a shock early on.
Yeah.
And, of course, I want to mention the unexpected return of Bubba Ray Dudley.
Oh, boy.
Which was awesome.
And it didn't occur to me while it was happening, but the guy that had entered just before Bubba Ray...
Yes.
He used to be... What's his name? Bubba Ray's partner?
No, that was not D-Von. That was not D-Von at all. No.
Well, what prompted that other guy in the room to be like, what if Bubba Ray Dudley just came out right now?
Somebody said that?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yes, one of the guys sitting behind you was like, wouldn't it be hilarious if, like, Bubba Ray Dudley came out right now, and then Bubba Ray Dudley came out?
I don't know, maybe he knew something, you know, maybe he read something somewhere.
I don't think so. Like, he had a look of shock on his face that he had just predicted
just
the future.
That one?
Like, for no reason. Like, it was just an off-the-cuff remark, and then it came true. Like, I think for a moment he believed he had magical powers.
Yeah, It was awesome. I mean, it's known that he was not under contract with TNA anymore. So, but still, it was a super amazing surprise, and especially at number 3, like, so early in the Rumble. It was a bummer that he kind of got thrown out relatively early once Bray Wyatt got in there and started chucking dudes. And that was another cool thing about the early part of the Rumble is that Bray Wyatt got a big spotlight on him. And you don't know this guy either.
I don't, no.
He is a sort of a... Southern backwoods cult leader guy. You think he'd be investigated on fucking True Detective or something like that.
Was he one of the three like Duck Dynasty looking fellas that came out relatively early?
Yes. He was the main one of those. Those three used to be a faction called the Wyatt Family.
Okay.
They rolled together. Bray is a pretty popular dude, and I have to make sure that I catch this exit here.
Sure.
So, you know, he had kind of a moment there where just dudes were coming in and he was throwing them right out and getting some alone time in the ring. I'm like, going there? No, I'm like, here. Or is it here?
Yeah, you're here.
That was cool. And yeah, he was dominating the ring until Daniel Bryan came in at number 10.
So much beard in that ring.
So much beard in that ring. But things were going, you know, all right, Rumble was happening. It was odd because the ring wasn't really filling out for a very long time.
And I had to leave somewhere in the middle of it, but at no point did I ever see, like, all arena filled with men.
Yeah, it like, usually you kind of, like, they kind of build up early on, and then in the middle, someone will come out and go on a run and kind of clear the ring out a bit and take over until another top guy comes out, and then it's like, oh, shit, and they get some time in there, and then it starts to kind of fill back. And there's, like, an ebb and flow to the Royal Rumble that usually... happens.
Yeah.
I believe it was around number 18 when the one of the favorites to win, Roman Reigns, entered the fray. And for those that don't know, he was kind of the guy, or is kind of the guy, that WWE wants to be their next big John Cena, their next Rock star. But, you know, just to kind of skip here, yeah. So, like, a lot, you know, people came out and entered the Rumble, and then were thrown out of the Rumble.
As the Rumbles want.
And, you know, the last guy in was Dolph Ziggler, who was another kind of fan favorite, but, like, people really like him, but the Mark crew also really... Oh, shit. I have to take this fucking exit way over here.
Whoa.
So, Ziggler comes out, and he's super popular with, like, the Mark crowd, like, the internet wrestling fan kind of crowd, and the regular crowd as well. He got thrown out in, like, 3 minutes. And that was a big bummer. And... like, he just got knocked out, and Kane and Big Show, like, who have been around for 15 years now, you know, just, like, unceremoniously dump him out of the ring, and it's like, what? And...
yeah, Big Show's eyes don't look healthy.
Yeah, he's getting up there in the years. But, you know, it comes down to Big Show and Kane against Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose. Roman Reigns were both part of the Shield, so they're buddies. Rusev was also out there, though he had this is the Russian sympathizer character.
I think this guy's hilarious.
Oh, he's awesome. He's great.
The announcer chick.
Yeah, with Lana.
She's so great.
Yeah, she's hot.
I don't hate it, but obviously WWE has a long history with, like, ethnic stereotypes.
The classic foreign menace.
Yeah. So I'm glad that... I don't know if there is currently... I'm sure... Is there currently an Islamist, like,
no.
A jihadist?
No.
Or that's too much?
No, they tried that. That was an awkward situation.
Yeah. I seem to remember there a guy, and so yes. He's not... They're not doing that anymore?
No, that didn't last long. They went too far.
Yeah.
And that whole situation. But yeah, well, initially when Rusev came in, he was just like this, you know, he was a foreign menace, but he is Bulgarian. And then, like, when some shit went down with
in
Russia.
In Crimea, yeah.
Well, when some shit went down with Russia, like, last spring, he became a Russian sympathizer. And it was all like, you know, he is fighting for the honor of Vladimir Putin and such and such. And it just became this great, like, 80s.
That is good, because, yeah, A, it's an 80s throwback, but also, like, I feel like Putin's fair game. We can...
yeah, sure. Fuck that guy.
No,
yeah, we can all make fun of Russia.
Don't say that. He'll kill us all. He won't even wait till we're asleep.
So, yeah, the foreign menace, Rusev had rolled out under the bottom rope and was hiding outside the ring. But then, you know, Ambrose got thrown out, and it became rather apparent that the person who was going to win this Royal Rumble was Roman Reigns. Here's the deal. Here's the thing with Roman Reigns is that he is very new. He is okay in the ring. He was part of the Shield for a long time, which was him, Ambrose, like I said, and Rollins. Mm. They were the Shield. They were a team for a year and a half. Super popular. You know, Rollins turned on them, which was awesome. That's why Rollins is a total asshole nowadays. But they were bad guys for a real long time. And Roman Reigns was kind of the muscle of the group. Like, Ambrose and Rollins, they have a long history on the independent wrestling scene. They've been around for a long time, whereas Roman Reigns, like, came up kind of straight through WWE's developmental because he's part of this huge fucking family of Samoan wrestlers. Hmm. So he is related to The Rock. When he was in the Shield, kind of his strongest points came to shine, and that he's cool when he doesn't talk a whole lot,
okay.
And he just comes out and kicks ass. That's when Roman Reigns is at his best. But once the Shield broke up, like, his flaws started to come to the surface, that he is not very charismatic when it comes to actually talking and cutting promos and whatnot. So And once they broke up, like, WWE started, like, pushing him, like, very hard, like, towards the title, like, already. And it was cool at first, but very quickly, like, audiences started to cool on him a bit. Like, it was just too much too soon. There were people like, whoa. But the plan that they wanted to go through with was Reigns winning the Rumble and being the one to challenge Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, which is what they're doing.
Okay.
But we couldn't really hear very well because we were in a room full of people who were talking. But the crowd turned, again, on the Royal Rumble very hard. Like, there was not a celebratory reaction at the end of the Rumble, you know, cheering the winner who was going to go on to face Lesnar at WrestleMania. It was boos or indifference, because the people that I think the crowd would have liked to see win, which would be Daniel Bryan or Dolph Ziggler or maybe Dean Ambrose, or I think Rusev would have been preferable, though really weird, or Bray Wyatt, like one of those guys. And Roman Reigns is a new face to go into the main event, but he's... And I think he'll be fine eventually there. I just don't think that he's there, like, right now. And the crowd in general certainly is not ready for him. So I'm very interested to see how they're going to manage the situation this year with their, you know, their good guy contender for the title at WrestleMania getting booed out of the building for 3 months.
Yeah, boy.
So it's an interesting situation. But I did... You know, I really enjoyed the Rumble. It was just, like, really weird decisions in how, like, some of the super popular, like, strong contenders got eliminated very quickly and didn't... I mean, Bray Wyatt was in there for a long time, granted, but, you know, it was just weird. There was some very strange decisions with how that match was laid out, but it was just weird and ended in a... bit of another shit show, which is always interesting. So I'm interested to see where things go and how they handle it. Like, I'm not down on the decision necessarily, but it seems like it might have been a bad idea. It seems like this might be one that comes back to bite them again. Send them scrambling, trying to figure things out.
What, is it possible at this point, like... WrestleMania is going to come and some third entity somehow is going to get introduced that will throw everything into chaos.
Who knows? Don't know. I mean, like, anything is, like, things are flexible. Who knows what's going to happen? But the other weird thing is that Brock Lesnar is starting to get really popular.
Yeah.
And he was certainly popular there last night, but it's been... the Southern PA crowd, well, Philadelphia in particular, which is the old home of ECW, is a very internet wrestling crowd. Holy shit. So they're going to get what... Though they don't like Brock Lesnar because he's part-time. I don't know, I guess they still like him in some way. I mean, and they certainly like him more than Roman Reigns. My water is just making a mucky mess over here.
Oh, dear.
Nothing important. But yeah. The definitely awesome thing about the Royal Rumble was the title match between Brock Lesnar and John Cena and Seth Rollins, which was just like this, God, super fast-paced, high-octane, really hard-hitting match. Just like, those guys were just killing each other in
there.
Things
were happening, like, tables were turned. What is Seth Rollins' thing? Because...
Okay, Seth Rollins. So, I mentioned The Shield.
Yeah.
So Seth Rollins was in The Shield.
Okay.
Right? When The Shield was together, Dean Ambrose was kind of the leader of The Shield. So when they broke up, Seth Rollins sold out to the Authority, which is Triple H and Stephanie McMahon's kind of, their faction.
They're still, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've been running the show the past, you know, a couple years.
Well, I feel like the Authority specifically has been a thing for a long time.
It has been a thing for a long time. But, yeah, so Seth Rollins, you know, turned on them, bought in, as he puts it. He didn't sell out, he bought in. He won the Money in a Bank ladder match. So he's had this Money in the Bank briefcase that he can use to cash in for a world title
okay.
at any time. And
who are his two dopey henchmen?
Yeah, he has two dopey henchmen who are former wrestlers Joey Mercury and, wait, Jamie Noble and Joey Mercury, also known as J&J Security. So he has just been this weaselly chicken shit heel for the past seven months or so. And his people hate him.
Well, he looks the part, and from the little, from the weird, like, backstage promo that they cut where they were promoting the mobile game, I don't know, he doesn't really seem to have a lot of, I wasn't feeling his charisma.
Oh, no, he definitely does have charisma. Like,
okay.
Well, the thought was when the Shield initially broke up is that he was going to be the good guy coming out of it, and that Ambrose was going to be the bad guy, and Roman Reigns is going to be whatever, but those roles were reversed, but it worked, like, totally fine, and, so his mic skills were kind of rough when he first, took the role, but, like, over time, like, he has been carrying kind of the lead heel role of the WWE for the fall, because Brock Lesnar works part-time. He's not there every week.
Right.
So, but he plays his role really well, and he's extremely good in the ring. Like, he is awesome. There's a lot of shit he can do. He can fly around. He's got his powerbomb moves. Like, he's a very versatile performer.
Yeah, there was some, like, surprisingly acrobatic stuff going on. I feel you don't typically see, or maybe I don't remember seeing, you know, the title shot matches, title. It was an impressive, to say the least.
Yeah, it was very,
a lot of top rope stuff.
Yeah, high energy, like John Cena busting out moves that he never busts out. He is oft criticized for having a very limited move set, but he was busting out some stuff that he does not. Frickin' Michinoku driver, like, what? Like, the whole room was in shock when he did that. It's like, wait, what? He used a sixth move, oh my god. It's insane. But it was, the whole thing was just, like, really well laid out, really high action. The entire room was counting off the German suplexes that Brock Lesnar was throwing down on these guys. Yeah, it was just a really awesome match, and it was a match where you really didn't know who was going to win, but Brock totally won.
I don't know, turned my head at some point. I was like, okay, what? They're laying Brock on a stretcher, like, there's paramedics coming in. Okay, he's outside of the ring.
He got put through the announce table.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, he was, like, flying back into the ring.
Yeah.
Just slamming them both.
Yeah.
Like a hurricane.
Yes.
It was impressive.
Yes. And that is what I have always liked about Brock Lesnar, is that he is just this freaking monster of a human being. Like, he is so strong and so athletic and actually terrifying. And the things that he can just launch people around, it's always been really entertaining. I just love everything he's done.
It was wild. Like, an old theater buddy of mine, who I don't keep in touch with a lot. Like, he was reading my Facebook, and he was like, that title match was insane! I'm like, I know!
Yeah,
so, I haven't seen you in 10 years! How you doing, man? It's good to talk to you.
Just gets people excited.
Oof.
Man, yeah, but, like, you know, Rollins was awesome in the match, Cena was good, And I still think when Rollins cashes in his Money in the Bank contract, he's going to win the title. But this was his first title match, I'm pretty sure. And he had a hell of a showing there at the end. Like, the whole, he was smashing Lesnar in the head with that
briefcase. Oh, yeah.
And people thought, like, it was coming down. He set it up to give him the curb stomp, but Lesnar caught him in midair, popped up and caught him and F5'd his ass and won. And it was so good. It was just like a really, just really strong, fast-paced action match.
It was insane. I might have to find a way to sit down and watch it again, because I'm not a subscriber.
You can. I'm sure they do a free trial for like a week or something like that for the WWE Network, which you can get for only $9.99 a month.
Which you can get for only $9.99 a month.
Yeah, but I know
sponsor us.
Yeah, that match went over very well, but now we're looking at Lesnar versus Reigns at WrestleMania, but we'll see how that goes. There's lots of speculation that Lesnar is preparing to return to the UFC, which maybe he is. I think that's crazy. I don't know why he would.
Yeah.
It seems like he can do just fine making money working part-time for WWE and not have to train as much.
Not actually have to destroy his body.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting up there. He's in his late 30s, so it's like I don't know why he would want to go back and make another run at a...
So how young was he when he first...
When he first debuted, he was 25.
Wow.
Yeah. And yeah, he won the world title within 6 months. And he was only around for like 2 years.
Yeah.
He was not around for a long time. And I wish there were more of him, but... Yeah, so there's a lot of speculation that he's going to be leaving after WrestleMania, or leaving soon. Presumably he'll be part of WrestleMania, but just that he's going to leave again, so... Yeah, but I don't know, maybe he'll stick around. Maybe it wouldn't be the first time the internet was totally wrong about something.
Yeah.
I'd like him to stick around. I think he's a great presence to have. I liked seeing him work with Rollins. Like, he's pretty much been with Cena for most of the last year.
Yeah.
I mean, since he made his return, he worked a match with Cena, 3 matches with Triple H, 1 with CM Punk, 1 with The Big Show, where he just beat him around with a steel chair for about 10 minutes. He beat Taker last year, but it's been like all old, you know, guys for the most part, so it was really cool to see him in there with somebody new. So
speaking of old guys, I hate to shift the top back to the Rumble, but the part that I missed was the part that my dad specifically went on Facebook to tell me. My dad.
I didn't mention the super weirdness surrounding the ending. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, well, so my dad Facebooked and said, "I hear The Rock is going to be there." I don't know how he heard that. I don't know in what capacity he would hear that, but apparently he heard that.
How
so that was a part that I missed. So because I was out of the room. What the hell? How did that come about?
Yeah, sorry. This was
he just in and out? Was
kind of This was at the end of the Royal Rumble. And this whole sequence of events was very strange. It was a super awkward ending to the Royal Rumble, just to compound the awkwardness of someone winning that no one wanted to see win. they had the face-off with Ambrose and Reigns against Big Show and Kane. They throw out Ambrose. Reigns manages to throw both of them out of the ring at once when they start squabbling and fighting each other.
Right.
And the bell rings to signify the end of the match. Even though Rusev was still hanging around outside the ring being sneaky, the bell rings and people are like, is the match over? But Reigns' music doesn't play. And then Kane and Big Show re-enter the ring and start just laying into Reigns.
Okay.
Then The Rock's music hits. He comes out, helps clear the ring. Reigns is standing there. Rusev re-enters. Reigns throws him out of the ring and wins. And The Rock is there, like, celebrating and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, when they... On the post-show, when they asked him why he was there, he was like, oh, I was here to, like, look out for my family and blah, blah, blah. But the whole... It was just weird.
That's weird.
It made me feel like I they're trying to give Roman Reigns rub from The Rock.
Trying to give him some legitimacy.
Yeah, because people love The Rock, so it's like, oh, if The Rock likes him, then that will make people like Roman Reigns, and that is a thinly veiled ruse that people are not going to fall for.
I'm having been out of the game for so long. Someone at some point was saying something about like, oh, this is how old I was when I learned wrestling was fake and stopped caring about it. And I wonder about just who the wrestling market is now, because when we were kids, the internet, what is now a pretty typical internet wrestling fan, did not exist.
It existed. It was people that followed, like, the dirt sheets, like the newsletters that were mailed out, which started in, like, the early 90s, like, late 80s. So there was that fan that knew a little bit more about what was going on than your average Joe. Yeah.
So are they... I wonder if they are sort of evenly targeting adult fans who, you know, are sort of savvy to the inner workings of the whole thing and love it anyway, and are the people that are paying the subscription fees, as well as children and the toys and the merch and everything. You know, I wonder if they have to sort of counterbalance the risk reward of, well, internet fans hate this. We would love it if everyone loved Roman Reigns, but we can probably sell to kids if we get The Rock in there to lend him this legitimacy, even if that doesn't go over well with the older savvy consumer.
Yeah, it's a weird situation, and I don't even know if they know what their demographic is, because they're trying to be so much to so many.
Yeah.
And I know they don't want to cater specifically to the internet wrestling fan, but I feel like on some level their two main demographics at this point are children, and children who don't know any better, and internet wrestling, and like the lifer, basically, I guess I should say. Like that pocket of like casual fans that were super into wrestling in the late 90s have kind of, fallen out over the course of the past 15 years. It feels like the audience keeps getting smaller and smaller. And, yeah. I don't know.
It's weird.
It is weird.
It's the same thing that I feel a lot about when people complain, or when I hear a complaint about either Nintendo or Star Wars. And it's the kind of thing like, well, look, this is a decision that wasn't made for you. This is, you know, there is this whole other demographic that they have in mind, and this was most likely a decision for them.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate, but that's the way it goes sometimes.
Yeah, the general feeling is in, like, what I see repeated ad nauseum, and I try, especially these days, not to read much on the internet about wrestling. I try to just watch it and enjoy it, and not be too critical and second-guessy. Which is why I'm just like, I want to see how the story of the Royal Rumble plays out. Because on the surface, it looks like a shit show. Did they fuck everything up? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. It's a long time till WrestleMania. It's not until, like, April or late March. So there's many months of TV for things to change and shift around and, you know, who knows. But the general feeling is that WWE has just been too afraid to do something more risky to, like, really throw their muscle behind someone like Daniel Bryan or CM Punk, which is a whole other can of worms, or Dolph Ziggler or Dean Ambrose or Bray Wyatt. They want the superhero character, basically, because that's what worked back in the 80s.
Well, and in a way, I mean, that just sort of happens organically, though. I mean, they sort of have to wait and see. Well, yeah, you know, so they got to really sort of feel out who is everyone going to rally behind before crowning someone. And so, and, you know...
But there's so much more politics behind it than that, and they've been afraid to do anything but John Cena for 10 years. It's like John Cena and Randy Orton are safe, but anybody other than that is like, oh, I don't know. Like, it's... So many people have won the title in the meantime, cashing in Money in the Bank contracts that are just, like, either not on the roster anymore or just kind of hanging around somewhere, like, trying to find their place in the world.
Yeah.
And I feel like when we were watching the late 90s, there was this robust...
Cast of characters,
but there was, like, a very strong field of main event players that they could swap in and out. Obviously, the biggest ones were Steve Austin and The Rock, but you also had Triple H and Mankind and The Big Show and Undertaker and Kane and Kurt Angle.
They were all stars.
Yeah,
there was all
these guys you could plug in and rotate through the main event scene. They all kind of came up, like, stuttered-like. A lot of them were at the same time, but, you know, and like, their feuds and their rivalries would span, you know, years and months, and you could come back to things and da-da-da-da-da-da. But, like, there isn't that equity isn't there so much these days. It's like there's John Cena and there's everyone else, but there's like this huge, geez, brush off your car, dude. But, you know, I personally feel like there's this huge class of new wrestlers that are going to be coming in the next, that have already started to come in the past like year and a half and are going to continue making their way up the roster from NXT that are really going to actually change things, like, in a big way. But,
well, that's exciting.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope it all works out, but who knows. All right, are we done talking about wrestling?
Yeah, I'm super glad that I got to watch the Royal Rumble with a bunch of cool friends.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was super awesome.
It was just as awesome as anything else at MAGFest.
Yeah, thanks, MAGFest.
Thanks, MAGFest.